we'll be finishing through Luke, and I think there's a handful of people that are fasting all the way until, I guess it would be right after Chinese New Year. We will not be meeting here during Chinese New Year, okay? And so, but if you want to come, we'll give you a key, you can come, but I think Pastor Sam's got something to do and stuff, so so we're going to do it that way, okay? Let's turn to Luke chapter 3. And I'm going to teach, we're going to pray a little bit, and then we're going to have a time of communion. If you need to leave earlier, right, then please come first, okay? And how we're going to do it is really simple. Just come, and you can kneel if you want. We put some pillows up there, and just spend some time with the Lord, and I'll give you the elements and spend some time. And then Pastor Sam and I, it's our privilege that we're just going to pray for you guys. And then when you're done, we'll just keep going. So just have a seat in the rows. But if you have to leave early, you know, just kind of come to the front. If you can stay a little bit longer, not that, and we'll still finish about 8, okay? And so, but if you could stay until then, you know, defer to other people that need to leave a little earlier, okay? Luke chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was Tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was Tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And it came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He therefore began saying to the multitudes who were going out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And also the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the multitudes were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, let the man who has two tunics share with him who has none. Let him who has food do likewise. And some tax gatherers also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. And some soldiers were questioning him, saying, what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Now while the people were in a state of expectation, all were wondering at their hearts about John as to whether he might be the Christ. And John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear his threshing floor and to gather up the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations also he preached the gospel to the people. But when Herod the Tetrarch was reproved by him on account of Herodias, his brother's wife, and on account of all the wicked things that Herod had done, he added this all... he added this also to them, all that he locked to them all that he locked John up in prison. Now it came about when all the people were baptized that Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, thou art my beloved Son; in thee I am well pleased. And when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being supposedly the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of Matta, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Hesli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simon, the son of Josech, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shilta, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Matat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meleah, the son of Mena, the son of Matata, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Solomon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, son of Nahor, the son of Sarug, the son of Rod, the son of Peleg, the son of Heber, the son of Shelah, the son of Cainan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalaleel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, Adam, the son of God. So in Luke chapter 3, we're now introduced to the public ministry of John the Baptist. And he came specifically preaching a message of repentance. And remember, if you think in these ways, right, which is kind of will be helpful to us, he was preparing the way of the Lord, right? And the message that prepared the way of the Lord was a message of repentance. You want to meet God, right? You want to see the Lord Jesus Christ visible, active in your life. We must repent. You know, it's not simply that we say, oh, God, come into my life, or Lord, I want to be closer to you, or I want intimacy. The road to intimacy is holiness, right? The road to God's heart is repentance. Because when we repent, we come into the state of being, you know, that God is, because he is holy. You know, and so, you know, don't ever think, you know, and we will never have revival without repentance. You know, we will never have a move of God, you know, until the people are cut to their hearts to the quick. You know, and that we are sorry for what we've done. You know, that we take ownership for our sins. We take ownership, you know, for the bad that's all around us. You know, and so he comes to make way, the way of the Lord, and that pathway, right, by which the Lord comes is through repentance. That's why it's important for us to be humble always, you know, that we come and we're always, you know, not that we are hitting ourselves all the time, oh man, I'm such a bad person. You know, it's not about that. It's not about condemning ourselves, right? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You know, but what we do is we are aware, you know, that our sins have separated us from God. And because we want to be close to God, right, there is such an awareness in us when we are not close to him and we identify it's sin, you know, or it's these thoughts or these things that I've done or whatnot. You know, and so this is what happens. And so, you know, this message was quite intriguing to a lot of these guys because the message of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the message was keep these rituals, right? Do this, do that, you know, make sure that, you know, that you're keeping the Talmud, you know, and all these kind of things. And it kind of get, you know, all jumbled and it got all confused, you know, and now, you know, John was saying, no, you need to repent. You know, it's not just about, you know, doing outward acts, so to speak. You know, it's not about ritualistic behavior. It's about the heart. You need to repent. You know, and so these guys come up to him and says, oh, okay, so what am I going to do? You know, and, you know, John very clearly, he just basically deals with very simple modern day issues that these guys are dealing with. And it's not necessarily simple acts in one way, because these explanations that he gives for them to do actually is a picture of something much bigger that's happening in their life. And it's really dealing with an issue of injustice, you know. And he comes and he says to the multitudes, you know, you that have two tunics, you share it with someone who has none. And you do the same with your food as well, you know. And so he's dealing with inequality, you know, in terms of economic structure, you know, that's set there. And unfortunately, where in the case of Moses and when the law was passed, there was a great concern for the poor. But as they're going through these times, that concern has kind of died out a little bit, you know, all for the sake of piety. You know, it's more, in other words, for the Jew this time, it was more prevalent or more important to be righteous than it was to care for the poor. You know, and this is something that Jesus would have none of. You know, and so he kind of sets the trend, or actually John sets the ball rolling. And then the other guy comes and says, the tax gatherers came in, so how about us? What should we do? You know, and he says, well, only take what you're supposed to take. You know, and another attitude of injustice, I taught on this before, but the tax gatherers were actually Jews, right? So and so that's why the Jews hated them, because in their mind, they were traitors, right? They were collecting taxes, you know, for Rome, you know, but they were pocketing on the side as well. And so most of the tax gatherers were very wealthy people. You know, like you have someone like Matthew, you know, who was a tax gatherer, got converted, you know, and he was able to host a huge party, you know, in his home, you know, where he had tons of people. I mean, that's a pretty big house, you know, to do something like that. And so, you know, these guys were quite wealthy. They were stealing from the people, basically. And he says, quit doing that, you know, correcting another injustice. Now the soldiers, you know, says, how about us? What do we do? right? And again, right, these guys were using their power to take advantage of people. You know, and it says, hey, be content with your wages. Don't force people, you know, force money out of people. Don't accuse people falsely to get some gain, right? Cut that stuff out. You know, he's kind of dealing with very kind of, in some ways, kind of surface things on the outside. But when you really think about it, actually quite deep things that are going on inside of us. You know, a lot of issues in our life, you know, things that we do, you know, like we, you know, stupid stuff, right? Like we take pens from your work or something, or I mean stupid things like that, right? It's kind of surface things, but you know, indicative of something much deeper inside of us, though. Isn't that always the case? It's not just like some sin that we do. I just lied to someone, you know. Oh, I just did a white lie, you know. It may seem like, what's the big deal, little thing. It's indicative of something much deeper inside of us. You know, I'll just take case in point. You know, people do white lies. They don't want to make conflict. They want people to like them, right? That's the root issue right there, fear of man. You know, they you know, it's simple stuff on the outside, right? But really indicative of something more profound going on inside of us on the inside. And they're easy way outs, they're escapes in some ways, you know, from really dealing with things that God wants to deal with in our hearts, which is to bring wholeness to us. You know, and so don't ever say, oh, it's just a little sin. Right, it's a picture of something else that's going on inside of us, right? And so, you know, please don't lose sight of that. And then, you know, John, people are wondering, is this Messiah? Could this be the one? You know, and John very clearly recognizing, right? He says, no, it's not me, but someone's coming. And he uses a very interesting phrase: "I'm not fit to untie the thong of his sandals." You know, for us, we're like, what does that mean, right? Okay, you're unworthy. Actually, this is kind of an idiom. This is beyond, you know, a slave, you know, like a slave was required to do certain things, you know, and untying the sandals was not one of them. That was like even beyond slave labor, right? This is like going beyond, you know, maybe getting your shoe for your master is okay, but actually getting on your knees and untying their sandals, this was just considered outrageous even for a slave. And so John is saying, I'm even unworthy to do something that a slave is unworthy of doing. You know, like we have kind of idioms, excuse this, but, you know, it's like, I ever heard, like, you know, I'm not even qualified to change his jockstrap, you know, or something like that. That doesn't even, you know, depict a picture. Sorry, that ruined everyone's morning, right? That ruined the picture, you know, but that's even worse than that, right? And so we have these kind of idioms, but he's using this idiom, right, to address that I am so unworthy. You know, in other words, someone is coming that is so much greater than me, you know, beyond what we can ever imagine, right? And obviously, it's Yeshua Messiah, it's the Christ that comes, you know, and so he is literally making the way, you know, and a great picture, right? When we think in these terms of making the way of the Lord, right, is to get yourself out of the picture, right? Isn't that a great way to make ready the way of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is to eventually get yourself out of the picture. And so in some ways, it's not that people admire your faith and they look up. That's okay, but eventually you get out of the way and they start admiring Christ. Right? Remember, you know, John is probably most profound statement. He must increase and I must decrease. Now, notice it wasn't the other way around. It wasn't, I must decrease and he must increase. In other words, when he decreases, doesn't mean Christ increases. But when Christ increases, then we decrease. You know, so it's not about pushing ourselves down. That doesn't necessarily elevate Christ, because we're made in his image. But as we elevate Christ, we decrease, right? We're humbled, or we become humble in that way. And so it leads up, kind of tells what's going on. And then the baptism of Jesus, I shared on it through the passage in Mark. I don't have to go more into that. But I will make a little note about different emblems of the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is depicted here as fire, right? You know, indicative of his consuming, purifying power in the life of the believer. He's also, brought to us as the wind. You know, that's another emblem of his, which speaks of the hidden depth of his mighty regenerative power. He's also water, right? Speaks of the power to fill the believer overflowing. You know, another emblem is he's the seal. You know, which means that he speaks of the ownership of the believer. You know, and then another emblem is oil, you know, which speaks of his power, right, his ability to anoint us for service. And then the dove, you know, which speaks of the peaceful, gentle nature of the Holy Spirit. And so the gospel writer is giving us little pictures of what the Holy Spirit's like, but what a huge gamut, right, from fire, right, to the dove. But that's what the Spirit is, right? He's all these things. And in different parts of our lives, he'll be fire. Other times, he'll be the dove when we need the dove, right? You know, when we need cleansing, he'll be the water. You know, when we need anointing for service, he'll be the oil. You know, and not that he's like a cookie cutter, you know, kind of thing that we just choose whatever we want. You know, but remember when Jesus, you know, when Moses and God, right, he says, I am that I am. You know, and another good way of translating that is, I am whatever my people need. You know, if my people need healing, I am Jehovah Rapha. You know, if my people need strength, right, then I am Jehovah Nisse. You know, and he is whatever, you know, the people need at that moment. And so, you know, and we've been in situations where, you know, like you're mourning or something, you know, and you need a time to mourn and a time to rest. I mean, it just sucks when someone comes up to you and says, get off your butt, man. Come on. We're going to do this thing. We're going to run the race. You know, it's like, hey, man, I'm mourning right now. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And that's when the Spirit of comfort comes. Right? And so, you know, God, he is whatever his people need. That's who God is. Right? And so, you know, sometimes he's the warrior. Right? Sometimes he's the mother that comes to hug us. Right? And whatever phase, whatever going on in our life, we can be assured that God will be there for us. And he'll give us whatever we need to succeed. Whatever we need to succeed. What we need divinely in that moment, God will be to us. Right? Because, I mean, in essence, he doesn't really give us peace. He is peace. He gives us himself, Christ. He doesn't give us, you know, riches. He is riches. You know, he is the gift that he gives, right? And then you have the genealogy here. And the only thing important about the genealogy, this is actually in Luke, this is Joseph's genealogy. In Matthew, it's Mary's genealogy. And so the writers are basically putting these things together and just pointing out the divine nature of Christ, you know, or the chosen nature of Jesus, you know. Actually, Jesus is, his real name is actually Joshua. And so it wouldn't be incorrect if we call Jesus Joshua, or I guess in Hebrew, be Yeshua, right? And literally that means the Lord saves, right? So what a great name that he's given. Okay, well, let's close our eyes. Well, another thing that was quite interesting for me as reading this is, I realize, you know, through the baptism that this is actually Jesus died. You know, just like we when we do baptism, we're dying to ourselves, and now he resurrects us, right? I never really thought about it in those terms, but Jesus the man died, right? And Jesus the Christ was raised up as a result of that. Important for us to die every day. So let's just go into a bit of reflection this morning. Today, right now in your life, what are you needing to succeed? If you're tired, right, he is the God of all comfort. If you're in the battle, right, he is the warrior king. If you're in need of healing, and he is the God that heals you, Jehovah Rapha. Whatever you need to succeed, that's who God is for you. You need an embrace, he is God the Father. If you feel abandoned, he is the God that will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, a lot of times we forget how personal our God is. We forget how well He knows us. We'll do the group prayer focus tomorrow. We'll just get straight to the communion. Let me read from 1 Corinthians. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' And for as often as you drink this bread and drink, or eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep." And this is a time for us to come before the Lord at his table. You know, this is called the Eucharist in different traditions. It's a table of remembrance, a table of thanksgiving. You know, in John 6, he says, "If you do not eat my body and drink my, you know, blood, then you have no part in me. You have no life." And this is a commemorative of the sufferings of the Lord. And this is our way of saying, "God, I am joining you in that suffering." It's also for us, as we finish this fast, a time for us, you know, to reflect and thank God for his faithfulness. And then in return, to hear the Lord say back, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." You know, and me as a simple human being, you know, I'm so very proud of you guys. Can you imagine what the Father's feeling, you know, in his incredibly infinite grasp of emotions? And I mean, if I could feel a little pride over you, and imagine what the Father is feeling over you. Not necessarily that because you did this thing, but ultimately because you're his child. But also that you also persevered and you ran the race that was set before you. You know, and so we come to celebrate not necessarily our accomplishment, but we celebrate God's faithfulness. And so whenever you feel ready, maybe we can get some music playing, Tracy, a little bit in the back. And then just come, and if you need to leave earlier, just come into the front, and you can just kneel before the Lord. If you don't want to kneel, it's okay, right? You can stand, that's fine. And I'll give you the elements, and I'll do the intinction, and then you just spend your time, and Pastor Sam and I will just pray for you. You know, and we just kind of just keep rolling along that way, right? And then when you're done, you're dismissed to go, and have a great day. Enjoy your first meal, right? Take it easy. Enjoy your first meal, okay?